Coming up on today's show,
we would go to sites every day, and you do an Old Testament reading, a New Testament reading, and then he'd talk about geographical and historical fact on why that happened right here.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. I would love to, quote-unquote, see you on social media interacting with me and this show through Facebook, Twitter, and or Instagram. There are links to all of those on catholicsportsradio.net. Speaking of social media, remember, too, about the Catholic Sports Radio community. That is the name of the Facebook group, which you can also find a link for on catholicsportsradio.net. In fact, I had some fun in there recently teasing the members of that group in a way to try to get them to guess who this guest is that I had booked for an interview, meaning this very conversation that you're about to hear. As much as I encourage you to engage through one or more of those, always feel free to get in touch with me directly. You can email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even private message me through the Facebook page or the Instagram account. I love hearing from listeners of this show, so by all means, please feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me. And remember, I am really just a one-person operation, so when you write through any of those methods, it really is me who's going to see and answer it. I don't have any staff or volunteers or interns, so rest assured, someone else will not be who writes back to you. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Off the field of play, there are administrators who are on the front lines with fans, with media, with sponsors, with league personnel, with board members. If their team is having a losing season, it can make the seat in the front office even hotter. All it takes is one email or even a critical social media comment that can tempt them to fire back something they're going to regret having said, a response that's now going to be in writing for plenty of others to see. That happens to all of us, right? Someone texts us or emails us or comments on a post we put up, and we too are ready to go into battle. The thing is, it's not a sports competition that we're heading into. It's spiritual warfare that Satan is the architect of. A referee would be a likely source to utter the popular phrase, "Let cooler heads prevail." But in fact, the words that we need are there for us in the Bible, and particularly the New Testament, in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, helping us resist being provoked into less than Christian-like behavior. We read there, quote, "But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was an NBA first-round draft pick, being chosen 20th overall by the Seattle Supersonics, playing 2 seasons with them and then 8 with the Denver Nuggets. During that time, he earned an NBA All-Defensive Second Team honor and would go on to serve as an assistant coach with the Charlotte Hornets and the Atlanta Hawks before becoming the head coach of the Denver Nuggets. He had played his college basketball at Notre Dame, helping lead the Fighting Irish to the Final Four, and was selected for the 1980 U.S. Men's Olympic team, although they did not compete due to the Americans' boycott of the Moscow Games. Many years later, he received a Congressional Medal of Honor created especially for those athletes. Present day, he does pre- and post-game television for the Denver Nuggets game broadcasts, and he is the CEO and founder of the Gold Crown Foundation, a nonprofit whose tagline is "Preparing Kids for the Game of Life." Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Bill Hanslick.
Bruce, what a pleasure to be here with you. Man, it's so cool seeing all the neat Catholic sports people you've done already.
Thank you, Bill. You among them. It's a great addition to the lineup, and I appreciate you making time to be on the show.
Oh, it's just a pleasure.
since I said that you do pre- and post-game TV for the broadcasts of the Denver Nuggets games, we know what part of the country you're located in now, but where were you born and raised, and how many siblings did you have? Plus, where were you among them, meaning oldest, youngest, etc.?
Well, I was the youngest of five.
Wow.
I was born in Middletown, Ohio, a little suburb of Cincinnati. Early on, my father's job took him to up to Beloit, Wisconsin, and I spent most of my early years growing up there. But in high school, I actually went to high school in Mobile, Alabama, and then I was in Lake Oswego, Oregon, and then back to Beloit, Wisconsin for my senior year.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot of moving around. There's an interesting wrinkle in me asking you about the presence of the Catholic faith in your household when you were just a young boy. Tell the audience what I'm referring to.
Well, you know, it's both things go, mom rules the roost. So we, as I mentioned, we had five kids, and my mom grew up Catholic, but my father was Presbyterian. And even that was an interesting story on when my father asked my mother, her father, for her hand. And that wasn't so well received, being Presbyterian. But so I grew up in the Catholic faith. Little different as you grow through it, but over all the years. But my mom would cart us off on Sunday to go to church, and that's Catholic faith. She said that's what we're going to do, and that's what we did.
And Catholic schools, did you attend some, any, all of your education through Catholic schools?
Yeah, when we moved, my father, we moved in the early 70s to Mobile, Alabama from Wisconsin. And that was an enlightenment. And I ended up going to a Catholic school called St. Ignatius, and just for my eighth grade year, because the public schools weren't so good. And so that was part of building my faith. And then I started my freshman year, and part of my sophomore year, still in Mobile, went to McGill-Tulin High School, Catholic school there, before moving out west. So,
okay.
Yeah, all those were instrumental in my Catholic faith and how, you know, it just evolved.
And shifting away from faith for a moment, were you, as they say, born with a basketball in your hands? Talk about playing sports as a young boy. Was that the only sport that you played?
Now, you know, when I grew up, I was one of those kids, I guess, maybe through kindergarten, you know, whatever, the youngest age to eighth grade, being the youngest in my family, we always had a basketball court in our backyard. So I always loved that, but I played everything. I played football and baseball and basketball, kind of the three sports back then. And it wasn't until, maybe my eighth grade year, I had finished playing football down in the Catholic School League in Alabama. And then I began to focus a little more on just basketball. And as you move around, the great thing about basketball, if you didn't know anybody, you had a ball, you went to a park or a gym, you could play by yourself. You could play with one other person. It was sort of the common ground to create a language that you talked with others with and made friends.
Yeah, nicely said. Nicely said. I like that. So now we can combine the two. You were doubly blessed when it came time for college, a basketball scholarship and attending a Catholic university. Talk about your time at Notre Dame, basketball-wise and faith-wise, because the assumption would be that both were a success, what with going on to the NBA, and how could your faith not thrive while at a school like that?
Yeah. Bruce, I'm going to back up a little bit, because as I'm sure your other guests and everybody's life sort of has a story to tell. And somehow when you look back, you go, oh, God had a plan in this. Now I got it, what he was trying to tell me. Well, so I grew up and I moved around, but I was, you know, in public school. So I was out in Oregon my junior year, sophomore and junior year of high school. I was starting to get recruited. And pretty much on the West Coast, a lot of big schools, what is now the Pac-12, you know, the Oregons, Oregon State, Washington State, Stanford, blah, 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 blah. And then we moved to Wisconsin. And I didn't know anything about Notre Dame. I knew the name, And this is where it was really interesting. So my father, Presbyterian, ends up sending a game film or some tapes to Notre Dame.
Wow.
And they looked at them and became very interested in me. And my dad said, well, let's take a trip down to Notre Dame. And it wasn't an official visit. We did it unofficial. We went during the week, but that Saturday was going to be Notre Dame playing USC at football. Of course, there were a lot of very funny, interesting things around campus, slogans and different things. And as I walked around, I remember seeing the Basilica, the Golden Dome, and something sort of rang a bell with me. And I liked the size of the school, and I was going to be I wanted to major in mechanical engineering. They had a nice engineering school. And so it started to come together. And little did I know what that would mean later on. Mm. But my faith grew there. Mm. It's great. Every dorm had a chapel and
wow.
and mass, and you became friends with there was usually a priest assigned to each dorm, and you became friends with those. And then as the basketball went, before every game, we had probably a 20-25 minute mass. And
wow.
Even the players that were non-Catholic, in which I would say the majority were probably non-Catholic. Maybe there were only a couple of us who were Catholic, but you go to mass and it was neat. It really, you don't know how impactful that is until a little later on. And then you look back and go, oh God, you were trying to tell me a little story here. Mm. So I really enjoyed that time at Notre Dame. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to build up to what will probably be a couple of questions here, but you were also blessed to be, as I mentioned in the intro, a first-round pick in the NBA draft. 2 years with Seattle and then traded to Denver. Did you consider that adversity at the time, meaning I've only been in the league for 2 years and I'm being traded already, or was it a case of, no, I just felt blessed to be playing in the NBA regardless of whose uniform I was going to be putting on for that next season?
Yeah, kind of a really interesting story that plays into my future and what eventually God had in store for me. So I get married that summer, June 26th. We go on a honeymoon. My wife and I come back.
Excuse me, what summer are you talking about? Leading up to your first season or leading up to the third season?
Yeah, no, this is I had played 2 years with Seattle.
Okay.
They had redone my contract and gave me an extension, and all that was really good. And I come back from our honeymoon, and I just happened to call Seattle and just checking if there's any messages, talking with the secretary. And the secretary goes, oh, Bill, the GM wants to talk with you. And I'm like, well, if the GM wants to talk to you, there's something interesting going on here.
Uh-oh.
So my wife was next to me, and I wrote down on a piece of paper, Denver.
Mm.
And what was really interesting, Bruce, was my wife grew up most of her life in Denver, went to Christ the King Catholic School in sort of a little bit off of downtown Denver.
Wow.
And she was elated. She was elated coming. And I was like, okay, this is the plan. Got traded, and then I had an incredible career in Denver over 9 years. Yes, that's when during that time I started Gold Crown Foundation. And you can, again, I look back and I say, well, this is where God wanted me to be, and what we started with our foundation and things we do with that, and now we're, it's pretty impactful. So
it sounds like at the time when you were writing down Denver and the GM was telling that you were being traded, the way that you're talking, it sounds to me like, and of course we had already heard about the solid foundation that your Catholic faith was on. Is it safe to assume that your prayer life was going good as you went through your days as an NBA player?
Yes, but it evolved, Bruce. I mean, it's like everything else in life, the struggles and the different things that go on. I think my prayer life grew, and I realized what really is important in life. It's great playing in the NBA and all that going on, but that's not what life's about. It spearheaded some other things that I did and stuff, but yeah, there's a lot of struggles, including injuries. I ended up, at the end of my career, I had 3 back surgeries, and finally, I that was it. I couldn't. I go to the first day of training camp, the last year that I was going to play, and I hurt my back after the first set, and I knew right away I was going to have another back surgery, and I called my business friend and partner of the foundation and said, "Hey, Ray, what are you doing for dinner? Because my basketball career is done."
Oh, my
he
gosh.
Goes, "What do you mean done?" And I said, "I know I'm going to have another back surgery." Sure enough, MRI reveals I got a big disc fragment in my spinal column. So, you know, I did that, and then it was, you know, God's plan to put me in another spot.
Yeah.
So you go from one period in life to the next one. So I get done playing, and I'm not sure exactly. I'd started my foundation, and I didn't know what, you know, where that was going to take me. And, you know, I said, well, out of the blue, I get a call from a former assistant coach of the Denver Nuggets that was the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets. And he said, "Bill, I'd love you to come down and be an assistant coach." And so I'm like,
wow.
I had no ambition to become assistant coach, but I had some good mentors, including a guy named Vince Barilla. Vince was of all people too. He was my GM for a period of about, you know, 4 or 5 years in Denver. And I went to visit with him, and he said, "Look, what I'm going to tell you is if you pass on this opportunity, you will never have another chance. So take a look at it." And I go, "Okay, all right, I'm going to look at that." And so we packed it up. We had 4 kids. They were all young, and we moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. And that was really, factor. But again, there was a purpose there. We had a great run, and, you know, becoming a coach. And that's where, you know, Bruce, one of the things that I really enjoyed, I couldn't do it quite as much as a player because you have to stay off your legs, but it's particularly in the coaching world. As we go to major cities around the country and play other teams, especially on Sunday, I would try to go to the cathedrals, and there are 30 teams in the league. I don't know, but I probably had 25 cathedrals in different cities. And it's just so interesting, the different ones. And it was just one of those fun. And I just do it on my own. Mm-hmm. I actually went, I coached in Charlotte for 5, and then I was in Atlanta for a year. And the head coach there was a guy named Lenny Wilkins.
Yeah.
Lenny was Catholic, and he was my coach in Seattle for 2 years. He was out, by the way, he was out of the country when this GM made the trade, and he did not want to trade me. He told me later on, but, but we would, Lenny and I would find whatever the cathedral, and we go to mass on Sundays. And,
so cool.
And it was really neat. He
so
was
cool.
Yeah, just a really cool guy to learn under.
For those that maybe are not aware, the Seattle Supersonics, the team that drafted Bill into the NBA, moved in 2008. And started up in the Midwest as the Oklahoma City Thunder. Bill actually knows a thing or two about startups, not only with the foundation you heard me refer to in the intro that he's mentioned once or twice, and I'm going to have him tell us more about that, but he even knows about startups with 2 different Catholic schools. Catholic Sports Radio is more than 4 years old, but at one time it was an idea of mine that I launched and was a startup as well, I guess you could say. One element I could have done a better job planning for when I was conceptualizing the show was the expenses that come with doing this every week. And I'm talking about costs that I have given specific examples of over numerous episodes of this show. Since I am, as I said at the start when I was giving out how I can be reached, just a one-person operation, doing all the work on and off the air without any help or any income, not to mention not having any sponsors, I am challenged with having to find a way out of my own pocket to try to take on those various expenses. I've been blessed to have some guests and some listeners make a financial gift to my ministry, but just like we hear in church every week, there's always still a need for support from the community. For that reason, I ask you to prayerfully consider Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. Every bit truly does help and also means a lot to me because it tells me you like what I'm doing. You believe in this ministry. It's helping you in your faith life, and you see value in what I do through Catholic Sports Radio. It's as simple as using the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net to make a gift in whatever amount you choose. It's going to let you type in the amount you feel most comfortable giving rather than make you choose from a list of predetermined amounts. Alternatively, since some people don't like putting credit card information on the internet, I invite you to contact me through social media or email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with details on sending a check through the mail. As you've heard me do on other episodes of the show, I will happily say the name of anyone who sends something in, whether through the Donate to CSR button on catholicsportsradio.net or through the mail, or as some have asked me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm most sincere when I say that it would mean so, so much to me if, as part of your continued tithing, you would consider helping me tackle the various costs that I face. I can't say enough how grateful I am for you listening to the show, for telling others about it, and for supporting the work that I do in using the mix of faith and sports to move more people closer to our Lord. Bill, before all that, I mentioned that you were involved with starting two different Catholic schools. Wow. Tell us about those.
Yeah, kind of, again, the good Lord puts you in a spot for doing certain things. So the first one, when I traded to Denver in 1982, can't remember the exact year, but probably about 84, 1985, we moved from the north side of Denver down to the south side of Denver, and we became involved with the very beginning of St. Thomas More Catholic School and what that might look like. We actually, maybe it's even a little later, maybe 87, 88. I can't remember exactly. Just talking about what it could look like and what it would be. We were on a board of people that, you know, talk about doing it. And then I ended up, you know, my playing career ended and I moved to Charlotte. But during that time, now if you fast forward, we moved back to Denver in 96, 97, somewhere in there.
Uh-huh.
And now all my kids, my grandkids and my wife and I go to the grandkids go to the school of St. Thomas More, and we go to the parish there.
It's wow.
Just how it worked out. So it's kind of interesting. But in the meantime, what was really fun was we moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. And the Archdiocese had a piece of land in a really part of the town that was going to really grow. So it's kind of a little bit of a reach, but they ended up having enough money to build the school. Mm. And that was just about it. I mean, gravel parking lot, school, there were no playground, no, God, there were so many things that just lacked. And so we got involved with doing the big school fundraiser, and people were really into basketball down there at that time. The Hornets were really, we would sell out 23,000 people every night in the game, even though we, you know, still kind of a startup team, expansion team. And so we could do some things that really helped raise a lot of money.
Mm.
But probably the coolest story I could tell you about this, it's really, really funny. Okay, again, imagine a school that's got plenty of acreage, but no playground, no fields, no sod, nothing. I mean, there was some dirt and there were some trees and whatever. So some dads and I got together. We struck up a conversation with a construction company that was building a new interstate about, maybe a mile or two, a couple miles from the school site. And they needed a spot to dump some dirt. And part of dumping the dirt, they were required by government law to seed it and everything. So they start dumping dirt and they make the land that was not level. We had a bulldoze driver that would come over after work. And if we got him a six pack of beer, he'd work all day. So he was plowing with his bulldozer. And then we got together. There's no fence or anything. So what are we going to do there? Well, we got a bunch of dads together. One guy was a farmer and he knew how to put up a 16 gauge fence with wood posts. And then we get done with that. It's all seeded and we're going like, okay, we don't have any lawnmowers. So we had lawnmower day. Everybody brought over their push mowers.
Oh my gosh.
We had like 12 push mowers going, and we ended up creating these fields for about, oh golly, man, a couple of acres maybe. And it was just so much fun, the end result. And that school, we were there at the beginning and able to fundraise and get other little things the school needed. Made it really fun.
Wow. And yeah, I want to jump in here and take my hat off, because folks, this is, you might not see it, so I want to make sure that I highlight this for you. This is a great example of the mix in faith and sports, because if you were paying attention, Bill said that St. Thomas More, the school that they did in Colorado, was while he was playing for the Nuggets. And now he's saying that the story you just heard was while he was an assistant coach for the Charlotte Hornets. So that's mixing faith and sports. He didn't put aside working to get a school started in Colorado because, hey, I'm a Denver Nuggets player. I get to just sit and relax and do nothing but play basketball. He didn't put aside, oh, let other people get this school started here in Charlotte. I'm a coach with the Charlotte Hornets. He saw an opportunity to serve his community. He was in community with his brothers in Christ pushing lawnmowers. And so this is a wonderful example of faith and sports going together. And Bill, to his credit, leveraging his position as an NBA player, as an assistant coach, so that more people will be drawn to it and can listen to his message, which is, let's get these Catholic schools built. Not his message of, make sure you watch me on TV and who wants my autograph and make sure you buy my jersey. So, Bill, I'm going a long way to compliment you, because that's great work that you did. And you mentioned the labor, and how often do we hear about people laboring in all the different stories in the Bible? And that's what you just described, as actual labor that people were doing for what ultimately is serving the Lord, building Catholic schools.
And Bruce, this is the fun to do it. It would be much injustice if I didn't give my wife, Mary Beth, grew up Catholic, and just a huge person that her background and everything was about Catholic schools and Catholic faith. So she was digging right in, and more often than not, she'd say, Bill, we have to do this, which really means, Bill, can you go get Shaq O'Neal's autograph or Michael Jordan's autograph on a jersey, and then we'll sell it at the auction. And I'd be, oh, great, okay, here we go. So we were a great tag team on that, and to give her some kudos, she even to this day, she has served as the Archbishop Aquila, the Archbishop here in Denver, created the first ever Catholic school lay board, 37 different Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Northern Denver. And she's chaired that board and just done a lot in regards to fundraising and scholarships and all sorts of stuff. So we kind of tag team it in a unique way, I guess, is a way to put it.
Yeah, and I do like the idea, because I'm sure that when you went to Shaq, when you went to Michael Jordan, you said, can you sign this because we're having a fundraiser to build a Catholic school. That way those guys knew, hey, this is something that I'm lending value to by autographing this. It's not Bill putting it in his closet and saying, someday I'm going to look back on this with great memories. Bill, you're going to do a far better job than I did back in the intro by simply citing the tagline. So share with the audience all about the Gold Crown Foundation.
Well, yeah, back up about mid 87-ish, we started this foundation. We created a 1 week girls nonprofit camp, 150 girls. There wasn't anything for girls. We decided, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to raise some money. I had some relationships again with the Nuggets, but we're just going to give it all away. That's it. This wasn't about lining our pockets or anything. So we just had a lot of fun, doing these camps. And I, even when I was down in Charlotte, I would come back and do these camps. And we donated. There were Catholic charities, that was our fun. We're as much money as we can, give it away, and do things for girls. Well, then we added in boys, we added in other things, and da-da-da-da-da. To today, goldcrownfoundation.com, if you want to check it out, we serve about 18,000 kids in sports and enrichment programs. I could talk all day on why and what, but we try to fill voids. Our mission statement is educating youth through sports and enrichment, but our tagline, which I really like, is really simply preparing kids for the game of life. And you do that through, you can do that through sports and education. We're the sports programs we run, majority of our kids are middle school kids. So we're very big about life skills and teaching those things that can help kids later on. And we also do some things in the mental health world, again, all surrounding kids. And it's not about, have we had NBA players? Yeah, there's a few that have come through our programs and become NBA players.
Wow.
Have we had college scholarship players? Yes, but wow, that's not why we do it. Because when you look at middle school kids, maybe 2 to 3% analytically will touch a high school basketball court. It's just a numbers game. We have such a volume of kids. So we operate basketball, volleyball, golf. And then we, like I said, we have these enrichment programs, heavy STEM in underserved areas. It's a program based out of Boston Museum of Science, MIT Media Labs, and Best Buy. And we're one of about 130 worldwide, about 20 different countries. And it's just incredible what these kids, you name it, we probably have it in the music, drone, robotic, laser printing.
Wow.
All sorts of stuff.
Wow.
And it's free. There's no cost.
So, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, and I love that, you know, every kid doesn't need to know basketball. Every kid doesn't need to know volleyball. Every kid doesn't need to know golf, but they do need to know life skills. And so I love that that's where the real emphasis on, because people are going to hear Gold Crown Foundation, former NBA player and coach Bill Hanslick, and they're going to go, oh, what is it, a basketball camp? And no, 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 no. It's so, so much more.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk life skills, we're talking about teamwork, character, commitment, responsibility, all those things that will help you as your life moves on. And you can learn a lot of those things through sport. I'm a
sure.
big believer in that.
Sure.
And that's why I look back, this was not any master business plan. This was just more or less going, hey, let's try that. Okay, that worked. And you do it for, and then you add this, and then you add that. So we now have our largest facility site is 13 acres. We have a mini course field. We have a 56,000 square foot field house with about 1,500 square feet of classroom. And then we have another site that's educational only. That actually was built as a church back in the 30s, I think, and we acquired this property that was basically abandoned and rehabbed it. And again, in an underserved area, and that has about 2,000 square feet of classroom. So
fantastic
space that we do all these things out of. So
fantastic.
A lot of fun.
And folks, I will put a link to the Gold Crown Foundation website on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Someday, I will get to the Holy Land, and I know that my life will be changed forever. But until then, I love hearing guests come on this show and talk about having gone there. And Bill, you are one of those people. Share with us about your experience having gone to the Holy Land.
Oh, Bruce, I mean, again, that's another topic you could talk for a full hour on.
Wow.
I'll try to condense it. It involved, again, my wife, I'll give her credit, because you know, usually when I'm saying hop on a plane for 15 hours and be all scrunched up, I'm about 6 feet, 7 inches. And I'm like, oh, that's not exciting, babe. But we planned this trip around her mother's 80th birthday. And we went through the Augustine Institute here in Denver, one of the awesome, awesome organizations in the Catholic faith, AI.com or AugustineInstitute.com, I think. Tim Gray is the president and basically runs it all. So he's been over like 40 times. So we were fortunate enough to go on a trip with him. We would go to sites every day, and he'd do an Old Testament reading, a New Testament reading, and then he'd talk about geographical and historical fact on why that happened right here. Not like in this area, in this half-mile area, but literally right here,
wow,
within a foot of what
wow.
And wow, it was so, I tell people, I felt like a like my brain was a sponge and it was filling up with water and it was dripping out. And I didn't want it to drip out. I wanted to remember everything. And it was just, I mean, from Capernaum to Calvary to Mount Olive to, I mean, wow. We went for about 8 days, you know, golly, they're just, the stories just are just incredible. Mm. One of the funny ones, this is a great one. So that we're in the cave where the wedding of Cana happened. So yeah. we're right underneath, you know, whatever. There's we're doing mass there. And, and so my wife and I, during that time, we renewed our wedding vows.
Wow.
And my mother-in-law starts crying. I'm like, man, what are you crying about? She goes, because I got you again. Like, that's the first time she ever cracked a joke on me. It was pretty good. So I said, that's really good. So, yeah. Just if you ever get the opportunity, go with somebody that's really good in the group. And, the food, the hotels we stayed at, you know, kind of antique-y old Sea of Galilee. There was this Scottish hotel we stayed at. It was just incredible.
Fantastic.
I would go back in a heartbeat.
Wow, I'm sure.
Find the time and I would go.
Yeah. Well, you've mentioned her a few times. Let's close by having you share with us about being in the sacrament of holy matrimony. I don't know how many years you'll tell us, and the children that you and your wife have together.
Well, it's just so proud. So my wife and I have been married now, and I can't believe this, 40 years.
Wow.
Which, by the way, we did a 40-year anniversary trip last October before the NBA season. And the highlights were probably going to Turin to see the Shroud of Turin.
Ah.
And then we spent a lot of time in Assisi, which was just incredible. We've been to Rome a couple times, but we ended up down there for just an evening at the end. But Shroud of Turin and Turin, Italy, and then Assisi is just remarkable. Highly recommend. If you make time for more than one day at Assisi. But anyway, we have four children, three girls, one boy, and we're so proud because their Catholic faith is so strong. It's just, how did we get so lucky? When you hear different stories about Catholic people that even some of their kids have fallen off a little bit, but and their spouses are very Catholic and their faith is so strong. And so we're fortunate enough to have 13 grandchildren. And that's an absolute blast. We have nine of them in the Denver area. So we get to see them all the time. My oldest daughter has really an interesting story to her. Her husband is with the U.S. State Department. They've been all over the world. Mm. And right now they're in Beijing, China. And to live your Catholic faith at Beijing is definitely a work. And they work at it. And I'll just leave it like that. But it's just such a blessing to have all those kids and more people that I say I have to work two jobs to support my wife's habit because she just loves those grandkids and we're do whatever, you know? So, just a lot of fun, Bruce. I love it. And, I think it's wonderful what you're doing with, Catholic Sports Radio.
Thank you.
When I got your email, I said, oh, that sounds pretty neat. I hadn't heard about it. And, just neat. What a way to give your Catholic faith to a lot of people in a variety of ways.
Amen. Amen. I'm blessed to be called to this ministry, and I'm blessed to have had you on, Bill. This was really great. I was looking forward to this, and it went exactly as I knew it was. It's so enjoyable and really wonderful to talk to you. God bless you and your family, and thanks for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
God bless you. It was a blast. Rock and roll.
Folks, let's close this week's episode with an athlete's prayer, fittingly enough, as a nod to all the years that Bill spent playing in the NBA. And of course, we'll do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you are trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and when you never can tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your hardest hit. It's when things seem worst, you must not quit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.